Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Yeah, that would definitely sink. Though, I'll say it feels like there was a slight shift last year. Malik was, you know, it was all vibes those first 2 years, but now all of a sudden the team isn't growing, the team isn't getting better. You know, we begged and pleaded for him to start, and he did, and it didn't really amount to much. And then he just kind of got in a position where he was trying to be the leader. He was trying to be the distributor. He was trying to be the point guard. He was trying to be the scorer. He was trying to be De'Aaron Fox. He was trying to be Malik Monk. He was trying to be all sorts of different things. And it was like, yeah, that's not him. That isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And if you move Malik, if that's a decision that Scott Perry in this front office makes, a salute. You better land a player in one of those position groups, Will, that you just outlined that works and works immediately. Yep. Like, not a gamble, not a risk, not a hope, not a prayer. You better know, hey, this guy is going to work with Domas, Keegan, Keon, Levine, whatever. This player is going to work here. That's why we're making this move. Whether it's off the bench, whether it's a Trey Lyles position, whether it's a Malik Monk position off the bench, it better be in one of those position groups or it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Man.
There's a lot ahead of us. And of course, everyone's doing the same thing you're doing because that's the part of the season we're in. Mm-hmm. Like, there's only a handful of teams left playing basketball. You know, we could, you know, lose the Denver Nuggets tonight. We could have the conference finals, you know, set here over the course of the next 48 hours. Have you seen a trade proposal involving Sacramento that really got your attention and you were like, I kind of like this one?
I like the Norman Powell one a lot, too. Mm-hmm. I know you guys have talked about it a lot already, but, like, Powell can go. Like, and he's another type of player who I think would fit what Doug wants to do perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
High-volume three-point shooter can, like, let me pull up his numbers.
There's probably an extension conversation to be had with him, too. Like, that would be a thing to really be able to pull that off if Los Angeles was maybe sketchy about the idea or maybe didn't want to go into that kind of financial situation where Sacramento could be like, oh, no. We feel very good about offering Norman Powell a contract extension.
Yeah, and here's – I'm totally cool with trading DeRozan for Powell. Would you trade Monk for Powell? Because I think they're both around $19 million. So the trade would feasibly work for either player.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. To me, Will.
Powell, yeah.
Yeah, you could trade anyone on this roster to me.
Yeah.
Anyone.
7.1 three-point attempts last year.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of pairing that with Levine and Keegan, I think, gives you a really good 2-3-4 in terms of three-point shooting. And then bring in like a true facilitator type as a point guard. So that's probably especially the most recent one of all the Matt George ideas from yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever he had his podcast out, I think at this point, that stood out to me the most. I haven't seen others that I love. There's a lot of, like, Orlando, no one interests me really. I don't think Houston would, I don't see them wanting, maybe DeRozan, but I don't see the Kings getting back who we would want for DeRozan from Houston. So nothing huge that stood out in terms of specific ideas.
There was a Laker one out there. I don't think this was Matt's, but there was, maybe it was, I don't think it was Matt's. Matt had a Laker one. I can't remember what Matt's Lakers one was, but there was one that involved DeMar and Valanciunas going to the Lakers. Because obviously the Lakers, we talked about this, the Lakers and the Warriors are going to be chasing centers.
Was it Dorian Finney-Smith that gave Vincent the Lakers one?
Oh, that was Matt's.
Okay.
That was Matt's. There was another one that centered, I think it was on Rui Hachimura.
Yep, Rui Connect and Gabe Vincent.
That's it. Hate it. that one.
I don't know how I feel about Connect anymore. Like, he's still so young.
Yeah.
I don't know, just very up and down season.
The poor guy was almost traded. I'm going to give him a little grace. Like, almost traded. The poor guy was traded. Yeah. And then they were like, never mind. Like, we don't want that guy anymore. He didn't pass his physical.
I think I'm kind of out on Rui, where the idea of him, I think, is better than the actual.
I think there's a lot of players on the trade market that fit that description.
Yeah, you're just not getting any, like, you're moving two high quality pieces in DeRozan and Valanciunas and that. And, like, you're getting three. You're not getting. Are you giving up the two best players in that deal?
In my opinion, yes, because Valanciunas is they're going to start Valanciunas at center.
Yeah,
I mean, that's Valanciunas is a starting caliber center. He has been his entire career.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've wondered: is would you trade Valanciunas? Can you trade Valanciunas if you keep Sabonis?
No, if you spent all of this time, maybe the Kings didn't, certainly Kings fans did. They've been begging for Valanciunas to be here forever. Like, no, and unless you have something that just gets your attention, like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm not trading Valanciunas. You better, especially with this thirsty as the... The Lakers are going to be thirsty. They might do too much. The Warriors are going to be thirsty. They might do too much. Like, nah, I got a starting quality center on my bench right now playing behind Domantas Sabonis, who plays entirely different than Domantas Sabonis, who might work really well in different matchups, who we can occasionally play together. No, I'm not that. He's not a trade piece to me. He's not something you add to something like, oh, here, this makes the money work. Like, nah, you better, if I'm trading Jonas Valanciunas, my team, the Sacramento Kings, they're getting better. If I'm trading Jonas Valanciunas, you're sending me something back that's making my basketball team better. You ain't getting him for nothing. No chance.
Yeah. And I lied. I do have an idea that that I like. Okay. I wrote about it, I think, last week. What are your thoughts on CJ McCollum?
I love CJ.
I think I would love it, I think. Like,
so give me a couple.
I think you could do... I don't know if the Pelicans would want DeRozan, but it works straight up. Like, you could trade DeRozan and McCollum, so even it out with picks, or like I would maybe throw in Carter. I don't know. I'm not too high on Carter, but I still see his potential. Like, but McCollum.
Let me ask a difficult question. Why? I was going to say David Griffin. David was fired. I can't remember who the general manager is for New Orleans anymore. Or the new general manager is for New Orleans. But
isn't it Joe Dumars running the show now?
Oh, it is. Yeah. That's right. Thank you. It is Joe Dumars. I'm Joe Dumars, Will. Why would I do that?
So for... That's a good question. I think... Okay. So... I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, I don't think if I'm Joe Dumars, I would. I think DeMar has a market. I think DeMar will have a market. I think it'll be very small and very exclusive. And I think both LA teams can be involved because both LA teams have a potential to win to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. I also think other teams, and I can't think of, I mean, maybe in addition to something larger, maybe Houston finds, you know, something involving DeMar DeRozan attractive. They could have used a guy getting them, you know, a bucket against the Golden State Warriors. I think his market has really shrunk to teams who believe a guy who can consistently get you 20 and get you a bucket when you desperately need it will help us get over the hump. Now, whether that hump is into the playoffs, whether that hump is into the second round, the conference finals, whatever it may be, I think there's a very specific team or very specific types of teams that will go after DeMar DeRozan. And then you throw in the two LA teams, which I think will, and maybe you could throw in Miami too. Like I don't know where Miami is going or what they're doing, but I know that they had interest in DeMar DeRozan last summer.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't know why you would do it unless the Sacramento Kings throw in something else, draft mm-hmm. compensation somewhere to where it's like, so in the CJ situation, it would be New Orleans trading really for the draft pick and the DeMar DeRozan money working and them sending him back mm-hmm. in that sense.
Yeah, and I do think that looking at the Pelicans lineup, like DeRozan with Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Zion, like that's pairing DeRozan with a lot of the things that the Kings didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably go at it from that angle where you bring in DeRozan who can get you a bucket and you're surrounding him with defenders and versatile players. So probably something around that. And then you've got Alvarado and Murray as the point guards who are both plus defenders. Like you're taking DeRozan and he fills a need. He fits a prototype that you don't have already on the roster. So something like that, like thinking about it for a little. I made a lot of people mad with the CJ idea. He is a shooting guard, but I think he feels like everyone's getting mad.
Welcome.
Nowadays.
Oh, Kings fans are on edge, man. Yeah. Kings fans are on edge. It's all right. Kings fans are on edge, though.
But if you have Sabonis still on the team, I don't think they need a like true point guard. I think McCollum is the type of point guard, and he's played point guard, like straight up point guard for the Pelicans since he got there. Mm-hmm. He's the type of point guard where he's not out there just to pass or just to handle the ball. Like he can do those things, but with Sabonis, I think works best when he is the one facilitating the offense more. I could see the type of like shooter point guard work around him that McCollum is, but all this is fun, like for fun. That's all it is.
That's all it is, man. Scott Perry has to play real life general manager though for the Sacramento Kings. Will, great catching up, man. I appreciate you as always. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, happy to be here and good to be back.
Yes, sir.
See you guys.
Thanks, Will. That's our man Will Z right there. I'm sorry, that is SI's Will Z joining us there as he continues to cover the Sacramento Kings offseason over there. I hate calling it SI, Sports Illustrated. I guess that's old school, but it's SI. Continuing covering the Sacramento Kings offseason, which is full of nothing more than hypothetical trades, trade ideas, or Stephen A. Smith talking crazy about the Kings or whatever it may be. And that's why Kings fans are so on edge. And Matt George might be a big reason that Kings fans are on edge, and we'll talk to Matt coming up here in just a few minutes. And truthfully, this is the difficult part, and we'll try to work through this with Matt. I don't know what the fix is.
You said it right there. Like the more like we just listen to people who talk about the Kings so far, like nobody has any clue what this team looks like next season.
No,
like, whether you're trying to trade DeMar, maybe you get the right deal for Domas or insert whatever deal, like. Nobody really is sure yet.
There's no...
Yeah, like you said, there's no clear fix.
That's it. There's no clear fix path. There's no one thing that the Sacramento Kings need. There's no one thing that the Sacramento Kings can do. There's a bunch of things that need to be done. And it's kind of like, you know, Will mentioned this a minute ago. I thought it was interesting because it made me think of the Raiders draft.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The Raiders had so many gaps, so many issues, so many positions, so many different shortcomings that they needed to address that when you look around and you look at, okay, the positions, skill, trenches, yeah, it feels like they addressed a lot of them. And like, yeah, whether it's good or not, we have no idea. But they were able to attack it from multiple different angles. Feels like the Sacramento Kings have to attack this offseason from multiple different angles because they need so much. But the difference is they don't have a bunch of draft picks to do it. In fact, they're short a draft pick to do it. And man, they're relying on a lot of different things and none more so than their new front office and their new general manager, Scott Perry. We're going to talk to Matt George. We're going to find out why he's so angry about everything. We're going to talk about DeMar DeRozan. We'll talk basketball. We'll talk Kings basketball. And we'll take our last commercial break here, and we'll go solid till the top of the hour when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh, we're back. I thought the little guy was going to say, we're back.
No, I got to fix that. That's my fault.
No, we're good.
No, it's fine. I'll take a lap, dude.
No, we're fine, man. Hey, Celtics win last night. You're brushing off an injury from yesterday. We're good. We got Nuggets and OKC coming up here on ESPN 1320 at 5:30. Home of the NBA playoffs, baby. That's what we do. And I'm begging for, give me one more. I don't care what happens in Game 7. Just give me a Game 7 because this series has been absolutely terrific. I don't really want it to end. I'm excited to see the Garden tomorrow. I'd really love it if they lost.
Oh, Knicks, it's right there for them. That's all I'll say.
If you could shut the Garden down, because I'm telling you, they're gonna be in a celebratory mood. They're gonna be like they're at tip off. They're gonna be partying.
I'm not even trying to talk trash or anything like that. I'm just trying to have an honest conversation. How much of MSG is a myth, or like the Knicks just taking that? Like the Knicks have not won a series there since 2000.
MSG isn't a myth.
Like, how many times do we talk about an MSG moment and it's the other players to like the other team's player?
Oh, all of the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God, like, all of the time.
That's not a myth, but more so, I don't think it has this magic for the Knicks.
MSG, that's such a great point. MSG doesn't mean anything for the New York Knicks. MSG is, it's a byproduct of New York. It's a byproduct of New York City and Penn Station and all of that stuff. Like, 35th or 36th or whatever it is. Like, that's all it is. And you get in there, Kobe Bryant, you know, Jordan's double nickel. Like, you, all of that. Like, that's all because it's in New York. Now we headed to the green room of ABC 10. Our man Matt George. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Well, we're off to a great start because I was about to log in on my computer and I got the blue screen of death. So,
oh my,
it's a good. We're off to a great start.
Well,
how are you?
I can hear the disgust in your voice, Matt. I feel like we've been talking about you all week. Why do you hate the Sacramento Kings so much?
Oh God! Well, we have 45 minutes. I don't know if I can put it all into 45 minutes. No, honestly, it's not a place of like anger. It's just a place of exhaustion. Like I was telling you privately over text. Like, this is the, and this is bad for a daily Kings podcast host. This is the least content motivated I've been with the Sacramento Kings team because I don't know what you do with them. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't know what you do. It's like, you made this mess and now I have to watch you clean it up, and I don't want to have to brainstorm the cleanup responsibility. Like, I just, it's a position that unfortunately I saw coming since December. A specific thing happened in December that we don't need to bring up, and here we are. So it's really not so, it was anger during the season. I think it's just gotten to a point of just exhaustion, but also curiosity. Mm. From the content standpoint, though, it's like, how do we figure out where this team goes and what Scott Perry realistically can do? And certain things are growing on me. Like, there is a chaos off-season move scenario that is just growing on me every single day, not because I think it would make the Kings significantly better, but just because it would be absurdly fun and also have the potential to just completely blow up in the Kings' face. That's the idea of a Trae Young trade. I mean, you need a point guard. F it.
Well,
go out and find a way to bring Trae Young in. Pair him with Zach LaVine in the backcourt. Say, hi, Doug Christie. You don't care about defense anymore because we tell you you don't care about defense anymore. Here's Trae Young. We'll get you your 53s a game. And just let's have fun and see where it goes. But that's not from a standpoint. That's not presented in a way of security and high basketball IQ. That's presented in a way of, well, let's light something on fire and see how brightly it burns.
Well, I have a question. Does that make the Kings better?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, I think it makes the Kings a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
I think I now have a reason to be excited about opening night, even if the Kings lose by 30. I do not think it would long-term work. I don't think there's the blueprint for success there. But in terms of entertainment value and potential to just go, you know what, we're going all offense all the time again and just going to give it a shot, I would be intrigued, let's put it that way, but I don't know if that intrigue would wear off 10 games into the season when the Kings are 3-7.
Man, that Mike Brown firing really upset you.
Oh, yeah. You think?
Yeah. It
was a, we don't have to harp on it, but it was a powder keg. It set off a chain reaction that put the Kings in this position. Well, rather, the Kings put themselves in this position, and I saw it coming from a mile away.
It broke you. It broke the spirit of Matt George.
The blind optimist Matt George was murdered and left for dead.
Oh God!
By the Sacramento Kings this season.
Oh dear, that's awful.
Revive him, Trae Young. Revive him.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of chaotic moves that could be out there. I forgot about this one. Jesse mentioned it during the commercial break, the Ja Morant conversation. I mean, I you know, like so much is focused on like Giannis, obviously, Kevin Durant, which seems like a foregone conclusion. But there could be other stars on the move, Trey being one and Ja Morant being another.
Well,
Ja Morant would be like getting De'Aaron Fox back.
Yes. Don't talk about Hulu commercials, or you might get mean tweets on social media from one of them.
Particularly graphic.
I don't know how
ones.
That happens. Yeah. Yes. Particular, especially when they're misunderstood and taken out of context.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. Like Trae Young, I don't want to say realistic, but like I could be talked into the possibility of a Trae Young trade happening. In fact, I have a text out to our Locked On Hawks host, Brad Roland, to just say, hey, give me like a ballpark initial, like not very well thought out, like conversation starter trade idea for Trae Young. And I'll see what he comes up with. For Ja, I don't know. Like I don't know what the Grizzlies are trying to do, where they're trying to go, and what the Sacramento Kings have that gets them there while moving on from Ja versus Atlanta. I could kind of see them going in a less competitive short-term direction. I could be misreading the situation. They could be in like a win now mode as well in Atlanta, but I wouldn't.
Well, you could
find much value in that.
You could be misreading it from a different standpoint. You got Trey next year at 45. It's essentially $46 million. He's got a player option the year after at 48.9. And Atlanta might be like, yeah, we're good. We're kind of done finishing, you know, at 36 and 46 or whatever, and losing in the play-in or whatever their scenario is. We're not going to re-sign you to that massive contract extension and be willing to move him this upcoming season or this off season.
Do we think Ja does not exercise that option? Do you think?
No, that's Trey. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That's Trey. That was Trey Young. That was Trey Young's thing. Sorry. I'll pull up Ja Morant's right now.
Yeah.
So I said that and I messed you up. I'm sorry. Was to accentuate your point about how easier it could be for Atlanta to move on. For Ja has 30. Ja's different. Ja has 39.0 to him next year, 42 and 44. No player options. He becomes a restricted free agent in 28-29. But Ja Morant's only 29 years old at the time he becomes a unrestricted free agent.
It's crazy that, what do you say, 39, 42, and 44 for Ja. It's crazy that that sounds affordable now because of DeMontis Sabonis and Zach LaVine being on your roster. The fact that Ja Morant peaks at $44 million, and that doesn't sound like a lot from a Sacramento perspective, just speaks to the contract situation here. See, here's what you're making me do, Damian. You're making me think about it now, and now I'm angry because I don't want to think about it. I just want to feel. Let me feel Trae Young in Sacramento.
My goal is to eliminate your anger. I'm trying to make you happy again. Matt, you know I don't do social media a lot anymore, but like I'm being told that you're being jumped on social media and Kevin John is coming out and he's doing the run in to help out, you know, the big baby face doing the run in to help out. And I need Matt George to bring that liveliness back to the Sacramento Kings fan base.
Am I a less believable heel than John Cena?
There is no one is a less believable heel than John Cena.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I have that going on. Like, here's the thing. I've seen, not to fire shots at anybody because I don't know the dude, but I've seen comparisons of like myself and Grant Cohn and stuff like that. Like people think it's
oh,
rage
God,
bait
no.
for content
oh.
and stuff like that. Like what you're going to get from
absolutely
me 100,000%.
Absolutely effing not. Absolutely
what you're
not.
What you're going to get from me is authenticity. Like you're going to get authenticity, not just from the standpoint of someone who has the honor and the privilege to be able to cover this team, because even if they piss me off, I love what I do, and I'm very fortunate to be able to cover this team, and I'm very fortunate to have the access that I do, considering I started as a diehard fan of this team in Sacramento with everybody else. But it's also because of that background that I feel and see what I feel and see. And that is why the Mike Brown firing hit so hard for me, was because we've been through the coaching carousel over the last dang near 20 years. So the idea of going through that again was repulsive, and here they are, the Sacramento Kings put themselves in that position. That's just one example of the Mike Brown situation. It was the same thing with the De'Aaron Fox trade. D'Lo, what did I say on this show over and over and over and over again? It's, if you mess this up, this will have long-term lasting ramifications that the next front office will have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And here we are. The front office is already having to clean up the mess, and it's been months, not years, months already this has changed. And people can say, Matt, move on, stop living in the past, but you can't fully move on until the ramifications are played out. We saw ramifications take place on draft lottery night. That's why draft lottery night sucked so bad. Maybe it wasn't as bad of a night for the Kings as it was for the Utah Jazz or Washington Wizards. That's fine. But the Sacramento Kings simultaneously lost their pick, while the team they traded their star to got the second overall pick, and a team that knocked them out of the play-in tournament with one fewer win than them won the dang lottery. And both those teams are behind you in the standings, and you still have some sort of win-now mandate. That's not fair. I don't think it's as much of a win-now mandate as it was last season. But there's still the expectation in Sacramento to be competitive, because what else are you going to do with the contracts that you have on your roster that you're not going to be able to move? You've put yourself in a horrible situation. You've put yourself back in NBA purgatory. You've put yourself back in mid. So what you're going to get from me is the authenticity of the frustration of, why did the Kings do this to themselves again? If they tried to be competitive, put themselves in a window and got knocked out the same way they did when they lost in seven games to the Golden State Warriors, but still had an opportunity to move forward, I'd feel a lot differently. But the Kings have put themselves in this position via self-inflicted wounds. That is the part that optimistic Matt George cannot get past, right? Well, that's the situation that Perry has to fix.
Well, as we learned, optimistic Matt George is dead.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Optimistic Matt George. Is there anything, realistically, I know we had fun with the Trey stuff, and I think you're right, there probably is some realism to that. You know, Scott Perry's got to get creative, that front office got to get creative and figure out how the team can be good should they do that. But realistically, is there something the Sacramento Kings could do over the next handful of months, you know, particularly, you know, come July when the new league year starts and free agency gets underway? Is there something the Sacramento Kings could do where you're like, huh, okay, I think I like this?
Find me, honestly, it's selfish, but I think a lot of the fan base can relate to this. Find me a reason to be not even optimistic. Find me a reason to be hopeful again. Find me something that I have hope in long term, whether it's a commitment to seeing if Keegan Murray can take it to another level, although that ship might have sailed for a lot of this fan base at this point, even though I don't think it's gotten the full fair shot, but maybe it doesn't deserve the full fair shot, right? Maybe it's a long-term Keon Ellis extension, but I don't know how much that moves the needle for me. I love Keon. He's a fantastic player, but I look at him as a really, really good role player on an established team, not the star to bring you back to relevancy. So I can't give you a name. I mean, we kind of humored the Trae Young thing from the chaotic entertainment value standpoint, but can you find a way? And maybe, D'Lo, and this is something I'm actually going to explore on Locked On Kings as the draft gets closer, maybe you try and find a way to move into the first round. You have your draft assets. You have pieces worth moving. Can you sneak in late lottery? Can you sneak in the late teens and find a player to at least give you some new energy, some new excitement? Go out and get a point guard, whoever it is. Like, I look at this Kings roster right now, and there's, like, De'Aaron Fox is gone, and whether the ship sailed for you on De'Aaron Fox or not, that the hope for the star and the leader is no longer here. Like, Domantas Sabonis ain't that guy, and I'm captain defender Sabonis, but he's not that guy. We've seen enough. Zach LaVine, we know what his reputation is around the league. Doesn't mean he's not a good player, but I'm not putting the keys of my organization in Zach LaVine's hands for longer than the 2 years I'm obligated through his contract situation. So the easy answer to your question is find me something to be hopeful about again with this team. Establish your direction and bring in something that puts you on that path that I can rally behind and watch for. Because even when the Kings were bad and winning 20 to 30 games, when they had a fifth or sixth or seventh overall pick for me to at least invest myself in and be hopeful about, that made it a little bit easier to stomach. I don't have any interest in watching a retread season of last year where the Kings are at best sneaking in via the play-in. Like, there's nothing there for me.
Well, that's the interesting thing, Matt, about the word hope. Like, hope is just a state of mind for the individual. And what you consider hopeful, someone else might not. Like, there are Kings fans who might be hopeful that Del Christie being here, maybe a better front office, you know, Del Christie being here for a full offseason and a full season and perhaps a better front office navigating, you know, the draft situation and the new league year and all of that, and the opportunity for, you know, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray and all of those guys, the opportunity for them to have a preseason together, for them to have a training camp together, that might make people hopeful that, like, oh, we were 40 and, you know, 42 last year. It was a tumultuous season, the Mike Brown firing, the De'Aaron Fox stuff. I'm hopeful that starting fresh at the beginning of the year, we could be better than that. I'm hopeful, even if a DeMar DeRozan trade is made, that, you know, we acquire a player who comes back, whether it's at the point guard position or someone to play next to, you know, Keegan Murray, stretch the floor a little bit or whatever it may be. Like, I'm hopeful that could work. Like, hope is just the state of mind that you're in. And your state of mind is bad right now.
and it's, you're 100% right, because my reaction to that is the rain on the parade of that hope of, like, how much better do you think this can get when around you everything else is clearly getting better? Like, San Antonio is going to leapfrog you immediately. The Dallas Mavericks are going to leapfrog you immediately. How many teams ahead of you are you expecting to drop off? Even the Golden State Warriors should finish better than you with a full season of Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, unless that thing completely blows up in their face. Like, it's one thing if you were telling me, oh, the Warriors are getting older so the Kings can pass them. The Kings are old now too, especially with DeMar DeRozan on the roster. Like, they're an old, kind of played out team. We know how this goes. We haven't seen it for very long in Sacramento, but we've seen it for years around the league. Why would Sacramento be able to figure it out? That's the pressure that's on Doug Christie's shoulders. I'll tell you the one thing I am most optimistic about, D'Lo, is I walked out of the Kings practice facility after my one-on-one with Doug and hearing Scott Perry's press conference with Doug. I walked out of that press conference going, I feel a lot better about this duo, and I'm eager to see what they can accomplish together.
Okay.
It's very easy at the very beginning to say we're on the same page and everything is good and we're all smiles because Mike Brown was the same way with Monty and everybody was on the same page and everything early on too. I'm hopeful that relationship can withstand the turmoil and the frustrations of what I believe is coming next season. So I'm optimistic about those two going forward and am willing to and feel good about moving forward with that and leaving the ownership involvement conversation in the past. It is what it is. Those two are here. I'm hopeful about what they can do, but I'm also hopeful with the belief and I think the understanding that what they're truly going to be able to accomplish is not going to be judged this next season, because I don't think it is fair for Perry, unless he decides to go all in with, which a Trae Young move would kind of be that. Like, I don't think it's fair to judge this first season on Scott Perry or for Scott Perry when it's going to be a year to clean up what he's inherited. So that's where I need long-term hope in terms of a player or something on this roster, which maybe they can provide this summer. Maybe they do it at the trade deadline. But in terms of optimism and hope for this coming season, yeah, you got to find it for me. You got to sell me on something, because I'm not investing in this beyond what I have to do job-wise.
We've spent a lot of time the last 2 days talking about a podcast you did a couple of days ago, centering around trade ideas for DeMar DeRozan. I thought every trade you presented was realistic. I think you had maybe four or five of them, a couple of them, the one to each of the LA teams. Orlando was on there. I know I'm missing a couple, but was there one? I think Detroit was on there too. Was there one that you presented that you really liked? Is there one? Matt George has lost his smile. Was there one that could, we pull this off, like Matt George might get that smile back?
I think the only one that would like make me smile would probably, well, either of the Laker ones, I think, would make me smile. Either the LA ones.
Okay.
I think the Clipper one, and I said this when I posted it and put the podcast out. Like, I think the Clipper one is as unrealistic as the five get.
So I agree with you, but I think there's an important caveat, and I think you noted this. There is an important caveat to that.
So the
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Two reasons why I came up with that Norman Powell deal. Number one is the fear of the Clippers losing Norman Powell in free agency at the end of this next season, because he's going to get paid, especially if he continues up the play that he played this season. The second thing is the idea was also, hey, send DeMar home. And the LA Clippers were one of the teams that were very, very interested in DeMar this past offseason.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, looking at this Clippers roster, how do we make this happen? That is the realistic way to make it happen. If the Clippers still want DeMar, that's what they have to do to go and get him. Now, they may not want DeMar anymore. They may have seen what they saw or had the season they had Norman Powell had that season, and go, you know what, we're good. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't blame them for that. But if the Clippers and Clippers fans and whatever, if they want DeMar DeRozan, that is the route to get him, is the Norman Powell trade. Again, if I'm the Kings, I'm hoping on a fear of losing him in free agency to get that trade across the finish line, but that's the least likely out of the five. I think my point in the entire exercise was you can find solid trades for DeMar DeRozan out there, but you have to leave your expectations at the door. Like I, a lot of the comments that I got on that podcast, on the posts on social media is, Matt, all these trades stink. They're not very good. Like you're trading the best player away in all five. Yes, you are. Like that is the situation that you're in with DeMar DeRozan. You are not getting better for DeMar. The best thing you can hope for DeMar DeRozan, you're not getting draft compensation for him. I'm sorry. Like unless it's a late super protected first rounder, like you're not. So
I'm with you.
The best you can hope for is depth, young depth or prime depth, which is why I don't hate, like I like the Laker trade because Gabe Vincent, give him another shot. I know he's been dealing with issues. He helps your point guard depth a little bit. Mm-hmm. Dorian Finney-Smith, how long are we talking about him in Brooklyn? Helps your wing depth a little bit. I don't hate the Tobias Harris deal.
I don't either.
At all.
I
think the Tobias Harris deal, not that you're looking at Tobias Harris to come in here and be a savior, but you have Tobias Harris, you kill two birds with one stone. Short term, you're still trying to be competitive. Tobias Harris is as much of a win now type player as you can get for DeMar DeRozan. And if you want to experiment with Keegan Murray getting more opportunity, especially as a three, there is your path to it. Tobias Harris is an established four in this league. I heard Kenny talking about this when you guys were breaking this down yesterday. I adamantly disagree with what Kenny said about Keegan guarding threes. Keegan's been guarding threes. Keegan's been guarding everybody. If it's the best player, Keegan's been guarding him. So I get if you're concerned with him guarding your everyday three, but Tobias Harris coming in here and playing the four is not going to stop Keegan Murray from guarding the best player if they're a four or a three or a two or even a five, as we saw this season. That's on the Kings' depth at the position and depth defensively to overcome and figure out. So if I were to pick out of the five, the one I want the most, it's probably Norman Powell. If I were to pick the one out of the five that realistically I think makes the most sense, I think it's the Tobias Harris deal. And I don't know how much better you can get than that.
Okay. I don't hate the Tobias Harris deal, by the way. I think I actually, if I remember correctly, Norman Powell was my favorite. I did think it was the least realistic, too, though I thought there was a very not easy way to pull it off. I thought there was a way that made sense because the question is always, well, why would the Clippers do that given the season that financial reasons? Like, that's going to be, we just talked about this with Trey a second ago. It might not be how Atlanta feels about Trey, though. I wonder what that relationship is like. It could just be the fact he's coming up on a player option. He's going to opt out of it. Atlanta is on they're going nowhere, and they are going there as quickly as the Sacramento Kings are. Look, if Sacramento wants to pay you, salute, they can do it. We're not doing it. That's that could be something similar, less extreme, but something similar to the Los Angeles Clippers who might just be like, Norman Powell's going to have a hell of an offseason. We've got Kawhi here, James. We gave it a run with this group. It didn't really work out the way that we want to. We're going to have to try something different, and signing Norman Powell doesn't make sense for us unless they're willing to move off of one of those other guys. And I'm not sure that that's going to be the case. I certainly don't think that's going to be the case with Kawhi Leonard. So when once I kind of filtered through that one, it was Dorian Finney-Smith and it was Tobias Harris for me. I think you left out Houston. I think there might be something there with Houston because DeMar makes sense to me in Houston. I don't know what the trade would look like, you know, numbers-wise, money-wise, all of that different stuff. But in terms of places where I think DeMar fits, I think him in a Rockets uniform makes a lot of sense.
I intentionally didn't do Houston because I thought a lot about that too. I intentionally didn't do Houston because the players that the Kings would want in that deal, you're not going to get for DeMar, in my opinion, number one. And number two is, while I think DeMar makes sense for Houston in terms of we saw they kind of lacked that consistent scoring in the playoffs, I don't think DeMar comes close to fitting Ime Udoka at all. Like that the way the attitude of that Rockets team and how they play, DeMar sticks out like a sore thumb on that team. And that's not DeMar, like it's not an anti-DeMar take. That's just who DeMar is and who the Rockets are. The Rockets had the season that they had because I felt they all bought into what they were trying to do and what they were trying to do there in Ime Udoka. This is where, and again, revisionist history, and people can get mad at it if you want. I think we talked about this last week. This is where, like, now I would have loved Harry being on the phone with Houston going, hey, you really struggled at that point guard position. You want to revisit a conversation for De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah.
Because Houston was a team that I talked about in a Fox trade a month before the Fox fallout even happened. Mm-hmm. When we were just starting to humor the idea of what if the Kings trade De'Aaron Fox?
Mm-hmm.
And Houston was a team that made a lot of sense. I don't care what Fox wants. I don't care what his family wants. Like in this conversation, you have control over De'Aaron. You're trying to make the move that makes the most sense for you. I had a conversation with a couple people from Houston. They were very hesitant on trading any of the pieces that the Kings would want, whether it was Green or Jabari Smith Jr. or certainly Amen Thompson was off the table. And they felt, okay, we'll see what this team can do. Well, you saw what they could do. They got bounced in the first round. You're trying to build. De'Aaron Fox makes a ton of sense to replace Fred VanVleet. Fits the defensive identity, I think, for the Rockets. Kind of fits the attitude. Gives them an offensive punch. Do I think it would work? I don't know. I'm not 100% sold. But I think that would have made a whole hell of a lot more sense for the Kings to explore with Houston than any kind of DeMar DeRozan deal.
I think another important thing with Houston is if they did entertain the idea of DeMar DeRozan, that's not the first deal they're going to make. They're shooting, and no shade on my man at all, they're shooting way, way higher than that. They're shooting to the top. Like, they're going to try to have a conversation about Giannis Antetokounmpo first. I don't envision them having a conversation about Trae Young, but, like, they're going to entertain if there are massive trade targets out there. It sounds like Giannis might be one. Kevin Durant's clearly one. They're going to entertain that before they get to like a DeMar DeRozan type.
All I'm saying is keep an eye on Devin Booker.
Mm.
I think Houston would be aggressive for Devin Booker, and they've got the pieces to pull it off.
It doesn't.
I think Devin Booker would make a lot of sense.
Devin Booker, absolutely. No question about that. It's just, it doesn't sound like Matt Ishbia is. It sounds like there is one trigger that Matt Ishbia is unwilling to pull, and it's the Devin Booker one.
Well,
he could be a liar, though. He could be podding. He could just be talking.
I believe it. I just think if there's one team that can push you to put your finger on that trigger, it's Houston. With the assets that they have, the young talent that they have, other than maybe OKC, but
I don't think there's a team in the league that's more equipped player wise and draft capital wise to get, like, there's no team more equipped than Houston. Like, if this is the asking price for Giannis, we want players now, we want draft capital in the future. I think the players that Houston can send back and still be really, really good are better than the players that Oklahoma City can send back and still be really, really good.
And D'Lo, that's what bothers me so much. And you can tell me to get over it. I'll listen to you. I won't listen to the chatty house telling me to get over it. That's what frustrates me about the De'Aaron Fox situation is you allowed him and you allowed your circumstance and you allowed a GM that was trying to save his job when it sounded like it was already gone to begin with the conversations that were happening with Scott Perry. You allowed them to take Houston off the table. Like you couldn't even explore that because of the situation that you got strong-armed into, that you allowed to follow through because of a short-sighted playoff mandate that had a very low chance of success. Again, this is the mess. Like, I would have, it might have not resulted in anything better, D'Lo, but I would have loved for Scott Perry to come in and his introductory press conference, he's answering questions about what are you going to do with De'Aaron Fox?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been immensely more interesting. Would have been great for content too, but that mm-hmm. would have been immensely more interesting this summer and would have given me the feeling that the Kings have a lot more options to actually make some kind of change than the situation that they put themselves in. So again, these are ramifications that are being carried out this summer that we can say, just get over it, just get over it. But the organization is going to potentially need years to get over it, barring Scott Perry becoming an absolute superstar of a front office or general manager and pulling a rabbit out of a hat and bringing out a fix that none of us saw coming.
Yeah, my opinion on that is you don't have to get over it, especially if you feel like it's a catalyst to why this team is in the position that they're in And to me, and I think you and I are going to discuss this a little bit more in-depthly on your Locked On Kings podcast tomorrow. But this team, like, you... I've never really felt like it's not going to get any better. Like, I don't know what the end of the season would have looked like. I think in hindsight now, it's like you didn't make the playoffs anyways. Like, so what's it matter? I understand the scratching and clawing to try to continue to make the playoffs and do that, and you figure everything else out later. But it was the idea that going to acquire Zach LaVine for your roster right now was going to make you better over the long run than trading De'Aaron Fox just to San Antonio, or perhaps just saying to hell with Rich Paul and De'Aaron Fox and trading him to Houston or whoever offered you the best deal. Is it's an entirely different situation. I think a lot of time agents bluff, and they don't often get their bluffs called. He gets traded to Houston, plays in Houston. That team's very successful. It's up to him to go, no, I don't want the money. I'm going to sign in San Antonio. Rich did the same thing with the Pelicans. He's like, hey, look, you could trade him wherever you want to. You could trade Anthony Davis anywhere you want to. He's not signing an extension with you. But you can trade him. He's going to show up. He's going to work hard. He's going to play hard. He's going to do all of that. He called their bluff. When New Orleans was like, we'll just trade him, and they ultimately traded him to the Lakers. No one ever calls the agent's bluff. And make De'Aaron say no. Make him say no. I don't want the extra money I can get from Houston. And I don't blame you for being agitated by that, because I think that's a big reason the Sacramento Kings are in the position that they're in. Matt, I didn't think I was going to be able to make you happy in one day, but I'm going to keep trying. And we'll try again tomorrow when we do your Locked On Kings podcast together. We appreciate you so much, Matt. We appreciate you for being with us. We appreciate all of you for being with us. We'll be back in full force tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. on the Insiders and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.